Good morning, and welcome to Christ Central Presbyterian Church, where we have come together to worship the triune God. Just a few announcements as we begin our time of worship. There is a communication card insert in the seat in front of you, and if you are a guest with us, we would especially desire that you would fill that out so we can keep in touch with you. And also, everyone can put their prayer requests on the back of that communication card so the staff and the session can pray for you during the week. Now, that would be helpful as we lift up each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Just a few announcements on the announcement page in your bulletin. We have childcare needed for the toddler Sunday school. We need an assistant to help. God has graciously grown that group of kids, and so we need some help there. So please consider that. That would be very helpful to us. And also, we need ESL childcare. ESL starts this week, this Thursday. So please consider that. That would be very helpful as we seek to minister to the Spanish community and help them. We have the Financial Literacy Workshop, which is this Saturday, September 24th. And I just want to emphasize that the deadline for the sign-up, as it says here, is Wednesday, this Wednesday, September 21st. So please, if you are thinking of joining, please contact the church office to register by September 21st. So now I would just ask you to please silence all electronic devices as we begin our time of worship. Let's please stand for our call to worship from Psalm 150. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre.
Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and lute.
Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing hymn 529 from our hymnals.
Jesus.
Holy Father in heaven, our help comes from the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so we look to you now, knowing that apart from you, we can do absolutely nothing. We pray, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, empower us to worship you rightly and to worship you in such a way that is glorifying to you. Help us to enjoy you now as you fill us with your marvelous means of grace, as the word is preached and taught and read and sung and prayed. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts, helping us and encouraging us in our wilderness journey as we are here in exile awaiting the promised land. Help us, Father, to worship you now rightly. We pray all these things knowing that our marvelous Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming again, and we pray in his name. Amen. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Ezekiel 27, 1 through 11. And this is our scripture text this morning, along with the whole chapter. And this will be all of our scripture lessons. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "And you, son of man, take up a lamentation over Tyre, and say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance to the sea, merchant of the peoples to many coastlands, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the heart of the seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty. They have made all your planks of fir trees from Senir. They have taken a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. Of oaks from Bashan they have made your oars. With ivory they have inlaid your deck of boxwood from the coastlands of Cyprus. Your sail was of fine embroidered linen from Egypt, so that it became your distinguishing mark. Your awning was blue and purple from the coastlands of Elisha. The inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your rowers. Your wise men, O Tyre, were aboard. They were your pilots. The elders of Gebal and her wise men were with you, repairing your seams. All the ships of the sea and their sailors were with you in order to deal with your merchandise. Persia and Lud and Put were in your army, your men of war. They hung shield and helmet in you. They set forth your splendor. The sons of Arvad and your army were on your walls all around, and the Gamadim were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They perfected your beauty." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now we enter a time of confessions. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, we know that we come to you as sinners in your sight. We know that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, that our prayers will not be heard, and we will not be blessed. And yet we know that if we confess our sins freely to you, you are faithful and just to forgive them. And so we offer to you now our cries of confession, privately and then corporately. Corporately together. Holy Lord, I have sinned times without number and been guilty of pride and unbelief, of failure to find thy mind in thy word, of neglect to see thee in my daily life. My transgressions and shortcomings present me with a list of accusations. But I bless thee that they will not stand against me, for all have been laid on Christ. Go on to subdue my corruptions and grant me grace to live above them. Purge me from every false desire, every base aspiration, everything contrary to thy rule. Deliver me from every evil habit, from everything that dims the brightness of thy grace in me, from everything that prevents me taking delight in thee. Then I shall bless thee, God of Israel, for helping me to be upright. Amen and amen. And our assurance of pardon this morning comes from Romans 8, verse 1, that reminds us that for those who have repented and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, surely their sins have been forgiven. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our second scripture lesson, we continue through Ezekiel 27. Tarshish was your customer because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth. With silver, iron, tin, and lead, they have paid for your wares. Javan, Tubal, and Meshech, they were your traders. With the lives of men and vessels of bronze, they paid for your merchandise. Those from Beth Tagarmah gave horses and war horses and mules for your wares. The sons of Dedan were your traders. Many coastlands were your market. Ivory, tusks, and ebony they brought as your payment. Aram was your customer because of the abundance of your goods. They paid for your wares with emeralds, purple embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and rubies. Judah and the land of Israel, they were your traders with the wheat of Manith, cakes, honey, oil, and balm. They paid for your merchandise. Damascus was your customer because of the abundance of your goods, because of the abundance of all kind of wealth, because of the wine of Helban and white wool. Vadan and Javan paid for your wares from Uzal, wrought iron. Cassia and sweet cane were among your merchandise. Dedan traded with you in saddle cloths for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they were your customers for lambs, rams, and goats. For these they were your customers. The traders of Sheba and Ramah, they traded with you. They paid for your wares with the best of all kinds of spices and with all kinds of precious stones and gold. Haran, Keneh, Edin, the traders of Sheba, Ashur, and Kilmad traded with you. They traded with you in choice garments and clothes of blue and embroidered work and in carpets of many colors and tightly wound cords, which were among your merchandise. The ships of Tarshish were your carriers for your merchandise. And you were filled and were very glorious in the heart of the seas. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you that we can gather this morning to worship you and to seek your face. And Lord, to do publicly and corporately what we seek to do privately and individually throughout the week. We thank you that you always hear our prayers, that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that while we come to you and confess our sins and seek to praise you and glorify you, you desire still to hear our petitions. Father, we pray for our world this morning, a world filled with unrest, of strife, of sin, a world desperately in need of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that your glorious gospel of grace would penetrate in every nation, every city, every town, every heart, that, Lord, you would touch lives and bring more into the kingdom. Father, we pray for Ukraine this morning. We ask for an end of war and for lasting peace for that nation. We pray for our own nation, Lord, that you would give wisdom to those who lead in high office, and that you would grant peace, continual peace in our land, especially for the sake of the gospel ministry. We pray for various church ministries. Lord, we think of our ESL ministry, which will begin this Thursday night. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the semester, that you would bring us many to minister to. And we pray, Lord, for a great harvest of souls in the years to come in this immediate community with many of our Spanish-speaking friends. Lord, bless this ministry. We also pray for our ministries of college and career students. We pray also, Lord, for our youth and for our children's ministries. Father, I pray for our staff and church officers that you would be with all of them and their families, continue to bless them in their labors. Father, we pray for specific families and individuals as we do week by week on our church rolls. We think of the Strickland family this morning. We pray for Laura. We pray for Steve, for their daughter Emily, and for their daughter Rachel. Father, be with them and continue to work your good, pleasing, and perfect will in each life mentioned here. We pray for Teresa Sullivan, Lord, that you would be with her and grant her grace. Thank you for her encouragement and her attendance, Lord. And she's been a blessing to us, and I pray that we would continue to bless her. We pray for Beverly, and we pray for Maureen Thompson, their long history with this church. Lord, we pray that that would continue and that your grace would be manifested in their lives. And Father, we pray for Alice and Tom Teachin. We thank you for bringing them through several health difficulties. Lord, continue to bless them, and we thank you for their encouragement, Lord, and their devotion to their Savior. Father, we pray for those who are confined today. We lift up Aline Cauley and Ron Quick Jr., Ron Sr. and Marilyn Quick, Lee Zambon and Larry Dickey. Be with all of these, Lord, and we pray that your kindness would be manifested in their lives in various ways. We pray for our missionaries, Lord, for Don and Leah Vanderplug, for Rodney and Jana Davila, for Dave and Paige Hawes, for Aldo Mondin, for SIEATN, and for Jimbo and Ann Mullen. Lord, pour out your Spirit on these. Use them for your glory and honor. And now, Lord, we pray that you would continue to walk with us in this service. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, Lord, that we might have an authentic encounter with you, the living Christ, as a result of worshiping this day. Bless us even now as we pray that model prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson, we will continue through chapter 27 of Ezekiel. Hear the word of the Lord. Your rowers have brought you into great waters. The east wind has broken you into the heart of the seas. Your wealth, your wares, your merchandise, your sailors and your pilots, your repairers of seams, your dealers in merchandise, and all your men of war who are in you, with all your company that is in your midst, will fall into the heart of the seas on the day of your overthrow. At the sound of the cry of your pilots, the pasture lands will shake. All who handle the oar, the sailors and the pilots of the sea, will come down from their ships, and they will stand on the land, and they will make their voice heard over you and will cry bitterly. They will cast dust on their heads. They will wallow in ashes. Also, they will make themselves bald for you and gird themselves with sackcloth, and they will weep for you in bitterness of soul with bitter mourning. Moreover, in their wailing, they will take up a lamentation for you and lament over you. Who is like Tyre, like her who is silent in the midst of the sea? When your wares went out from the seas, you satisfied many peoples. With the abundance of your wealth and your merchandise, you enriched the kings of earth. Now that you are broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your company have fallen in the midst of you. All the inhabitants of the coastlands are appalled at you, and their kings are horribly afraid. They are troubled in countenance. The merchants among the peoples hiss at you. You have become terrified, and you will cease to be forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now let's stand together and sing hymn 353. Let's sing. Father in heaven, as we give to you now our tithes and offering, we pray that you would accept them as pleasing in your sight and use them as you see fit, as we cheerfully give with the blessings that you have freely given to us as the great provider. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
seated. And as you take your seat, you can open your copy of the Word of God to Ezekiel chapter 27. We're going to look, as Nick mentioned, to the entire chapter this morning as we consider the rise and fall of the city of Tyre. Ezekiel chapter 27. I did my best this past week to persuade Nick that I was not trying to punish him by having him read those words that were difficult in the entire passage, and he did an excellent job, and I thank God for him week by week and all that he brings to the ministry here at Christ Central. Ezekiel 27 is a lamentation over the destruction of the mighty ancient city of Tyre. Tyre was a principal city in Phoenicia, modern-day Lebanon. And the name Tyre means rock. It referred to the main fortress that was located on a rock, 1/2 mile offshore. The city was built in two parts. There was an onshore section, and then there was a smaller island section off the coast. The Egyptians and the Assyrians sought to maintain control of Tyre due to its importance as a port city and a military outpost. And Nebuchadnezzar continued attempts to sack the city and to destroy it. He took up where the Assyrians left off. And after 17 or 18 years of trying to do it, he was unsuccessful. Alexander the Great was the first one to actually conquer the city, and he did so by constructing a causeway from the main section of the city to this little coastal island area. Until that time, Tyre ranked as a powerful, wealthy, commercial city, dealing in all kinds of wares. If you go to Ezekiel, the broad context of this is chapters 25 through 33, where we have Ezekiel's oracles of judgment against the nations surrounding Israel. God would never tolerate the mistreatment of his people. And this entire section points to those oracles or judgments against the nations, and often represented by great cities like the city of Tyre. The narrow context is Ezekiel chapter 26 through 28. We have the announcement of Tyre's destruction in chapter 26. Then we have 27 here, the lament. And then finally in chapter 28 is the prophecy of the king of Tyre and his destruction. And so chapter 27 presents Tyre as a huge, well-outfitted sailing ship. It's sort of an allegory in this entire passage. And it's sailing along, and it's a ship full of all kinds of expensive cargo due to its international trade, but it suffers shipwreck in the end, and it sinks within the sight of land. You see, the reason we read this passage this morning and the reason we're looking at this chapter is because Tyre and this passage demonstrates the futility of loving and pursuing and trusting in all the things the world calls important apart from God. Let me say that again. Tyre represents the futility of loving and pursuing and trusting in all the things the world calls important apart from God. I'd like us to review the passage this morning briefly and then make some applications for us based on this passage in the end. I want you to notice three things, and they coincide with the three separate readings in your bulletin. Number one, I want you to notice the beauty and the security of Tyre, in verses 1 through 11. And then I want us to look at the affluence and significance of Tyre, and that is in verses 12 through 25. And then finally, the fall and the destruction of Tyre, and we see that in the third scripture reading, verses 26 through 36. So along with an outline of the message, join me in prayer. Let's ask God to bless our time of Bible study together this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we wish to see Jesus and Him only. We pray that you would forgive the preacher for his sins omitting. Glorify yourself and edify every one of us as a result of hearing and studying and feasting on your word this morning. Bless us, Lord, to that end. We ask now in Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, you'll notice in the first section or the first reading, Tyre's beauty and security. Tyre's beauty can be seen in verses 1 through 7. After the Lord tells Ezekiel to take up a lamentation over Tyre, the Lord reveals the state of the heart of this city and its inhabitants. Look at verse 3b. O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Sounds almost like Muhammad Ali. I am the greatest, the prettiest, the best that ever lived, or whatever he said. The passage goes on to describe the beauty of the good ship Tyre. In verse 4, Tyre's glory and beauty have no boundaries, no limits. And Tyre is presented as the mother of all beauty and luxury on the high seas. Verses 5 through 7, the beauty and the glory of Tyre extends to the expensive and imported materials used to build and adorn her. Look at verses 5 through 7. Planks of fir trees from Senir, cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you, oars made of the oaks of Bashan. Her deck is inlaid with ivory and cypress, your sail embroidered cloth from Egyptian linen. And so we know that Tyre was considered a very beautiful, very luxurious place on the map. But tragically, what appears to be so beautiful on the surface is really ugly underneath. This is a picture of a self-generated beauty. It's a portrait of narcissism and selfishness. You see, the beauty of Tyre is built on a foundation of pride and arrogance and self. We know from chapter 26 that Tyre rejoiced in Israel's misfortunes, in Jerusalem's misfortunes specifically. All it meant was more trade for them, a bigger piece of the market or the pie. And so they were greedy, they were selfish, and they set out to really make a name for themselves. But you see, this is the type of beauty that the world celebrates. Remember, 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So the world celebrates outward beauty with little to no concern for inward character. This is the so-called beauty of Tyre that the world prizes and admires apart from God. We live in a society where people celebrate beauty. They celebrate celebrity. They celebrate looks rather than character, and that's tragic. And while the world may celebrate that sort of thing, God doesn't. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, as the Lord said about King David. No, the Lord requires far more than that. Well, that's Tyre's beauty. Notice quickly Tyre's security. In verses 8 through 11, Tyre's beauty and glory were complemented by her nautical expertise. They had the best of everything to maintain and guarantee stability and security on the high seas. Notice Ezekiel presents Tyre as a stable and secure sailing vessel which is ready for and able to overcome any adverse conditions on the sea. In verse 8a, we have an expert and seasoned crew of rowers, the Sidonians, who were just as skilled in their naval prowess as their fellow Phoenician brothers, the Tyrians. Then verse 8b, your wise men served as pilots or navigators. Verse 9, the knowledgeable and the skilled maintenance staff. They had elders and wise men from Gabal. The latter part of verse 9, a superior supply chain for its efficient distribution of goods. All the ships of the sea and their sailors were with you in order to deal your merchandise. This is a tremendous commercial power. In verses 10 and 11, if that were not enough, they had a mighty military able and prepared to defend 24/7. Two times it says of different peoples, they hung their shields and helmets. They hung their shields on your walls all around. It was a picture of 24/7 security. And so in summary, Tyre is pictured as this indestructible ship with the finest crew and staff and pilots and navigators known to man. And moreover, Tyre commands the attention of all the ships of the sea and their sailors. And she has defending armies at her disposal, ready to fight for and protect her interests around the clock. It's nice to have a feeling of security, isn't it? This is a picture of worldly security. Self-sufficient, secure, and indestructible. Nothing can get to me. What could possibly go wrong when you have a superior knowledge and technology and expert manpower to drive and maintain this massive, beautiful ship? But just like the beauty of Tyre, the security of Tyre is built on a faulty foundation. This is a picture of absolute trust in man to the exclusion of God. Security in Tyre is not a matter of trust and faith and dependency upon the living God. It's a matter of what I can do for myself, what I can provide for myself to make me feel secure in a very unstable world. What is your security based on this morning? Very important that we don't follow the direction of Tyre, because Tyre demonstrates what we see so much of in our culture and beyond, is that self-absorbed sense of security, that I will take care of myself, that I'm a cat, or just like a cat with nine lives. When I fall, I land on my feet, and nothing and no one is going to get in my way or upset me. I take care of myself. That's the type of security that is a false security, because it doesn't find its foundation in faith and trust and dependency upon the living God. Well, that is Tyre's beauty and security. Now notice, secondly, Tyre's affluence and significance in verses 12 through 25. This section of the passage reads like a cargo manifest. Ezekiel meticulously lists not only all of her trading partners, but also all the commodities that were being traded. And through its customers and traders, Tyre became one of the richest and most affluent cities in the ancient world. Look at verse 12. There's precious metals, silver, iron, tin, and lead. We have bronze in verse 13. They also had slaves. Look at verse 13. With the lives of many men, the lives of men they paid for their merchandise. Verse 14, livestock for war and daily labor, horses, war horses, and mules. Verse 15, rare and expensive animal byproducts like ivory, tusks, and ebony. Verse 16 has precious stones and fabrics, emeralds, purple, embroidered work, fine linen and coral and rubies. In verse 17 and 18, not only do they have all these beautiful things, they have food and medical supplies, the wheat of Minnith, cakes, honey, oil, and balm, wine of Helbon, and white wool. They also have livestock for food. Verse 21, lambs and rams and goats. Verse 22, the best of all kinds of spices, and more precious stones and gold. And if that weren't enough, they had clothing and home furnishings in verses 23 and 24. Choice garments, clothes of blue and embroidered work, carpets of many colors, and tightly wound cords. And verse 25 offers a grand summary of the whole. You were filled and were very glorious in the heart of the seas. Now you see, ultimately, Ezekiel's purpose is not to educate us about Tyre's economy, but to reinforce the message that all their wealth, all her power would be useless in comparison to the sovereignty of Yahweh. The world makes so much of what it can see. And this is a picture of being rich in the world, but not rich toward God. This is a picture of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And note, these things are not bad in and of themselves. The badness of this situation is not affluence, but the absence of God. Jesus himself said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? I can't think or can't help but think of the parable of the rich man. You remember the guy in the New Testament that he had plenty of barns and his crops produced a great, great harvest, and he kept on saying to himself, I will build bigger barns so that I'll have a place to store all these goods. And I'll say to myself, eat, drink, and enjoy your pleasure. Enjoy the work of your hands. But that night, God took him in an instant. And Jesus made it clear that great wealth, great affluence, can often not be a blessing, but a curse. Because it can turn your heart away from the Lord if you allow it. And so this is a picture of worldly wealth apart from and divorced from the living God. Tyre had great wealth, great affluence, but also great influence, or we might even say significance. And we see that in this passage too. In addition to the 40 products mentioned a moment ago, this passage outlines approximately 20 different trading alliances. And this list of customers and traders of all these goods is extensive. Tyre traded with virtually every area of the Mediterranean Sea. In verse 12, the impressive range of merchant connections begins and ends with Tarshish. If you look on a map of the Mediterranean Sea, the Mediterranean basin, Tarshish is thought to be southern Spain, implying that Tyre's trade stretched along the whole extent of the Mediterranean Sea. Verse 13, the names Javan, Tubal, and Meshech are first found as sons of Japheth in Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. But Ezekiel's time, in his time, the name signified geographical regions, perhaps peopled by descendants of those men. The list of names demonstrates the far-off places which Tyre did business. Javan was a collective Old Testament name for Greece. Tubal refers to the ancient table in what is now central Turkey, the province of Cappadocia in New Testament times. Meshech refers to people known in Greek literature as the Moskoi, who settled in an area of southeast edge of the Black Sea, the northeastern part of modern Turkey. And in verse 14, Beth Togomar was located in the region of Carchemish and Haran. And so you see what Ezekiel is trying to do is demonstrate the significance of Tyre. What is their significance? What is their influence? What is their lasting legacy? It is that they were the commercial empire of the known world at that time. And if you wanted to do trade, you had to do it with Tyre. Now, the influence of Tyre and its significance was powerful as it was extensive. International trade begins and ends in Tyre. And Tyre made a name for itself throughout the Mediterranean world. You know, from a worldly perspective, the idea of influence can lead to a false sense of immortality. That is, people want to know that they've made their mark. That was the problem at the Tower of Babel. You remember they said, let us make a name for ourselves. And so they began to build this enormous tower, again, as God was absent from the equation. And in the very end, after building that tower, God came down and simply dispersed all those peoples to demonstrate that you and I were never created to make a name for ourselves. We were created to glorify God. We were created to live and exist and move according to His good pleasure. And whenever we divorce those great objectives that God has for human beings, whenever we eliminate those things, then we begin to look for those things that might give us a lasting legacy. I mean, after all, people name schools or have schools named after themselves. I was watching the other day at Kansas City Chiefs and how they have that big statue of Lamar Hunt, who meant so much to the AFL and the NFL. All over the United States, you can find statues and educational institutions with names on them that people worked a lifetime in order to make their mark, in order to have that sense of significance. You see, this is part of the boastful pride of life that John talks about in 1 John 2, 15 through 17. The desire to seek and celebrate my significance without God. Oddly enough, Jesus came and said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. You will not find it in the world as the world seeks for it. Yet there are many, many adults and young people seeking for that sense of significance. Why am I here? Who am I? What is my purpose? Where am I going? All those questions find answers in the Bible and with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that is the beauty and security of Tyre and the affluence and significance of Tyre. Then notice finally and thirdly, the fall and destruction of Tyre in verses 26 through 36. In verses 26 and 27, Ezekiel offers a description of the swift that is swift and catastrophic. The rowers have brought you into great waters. The east wind has broken you. And the loss is catastrophic. Your wealth, your wares, your merchandise, your sailors and pilots, all of the things that were mentioned in the passage earlier fall into the heart of the sea. And ladies and gentlemen, it's vital to note just how rapidly Tyre faced her demise. There's something of a beauty of literary device here, as the first two portions of the first two readings are lengthy as they describe the wealth and the grandeur and the glory of Tyre. You'll notice that her destruction and her fall came in an instant. Verses 28 through 21, the crews of all the other ships on the sea leave their ships and come in to land in order to offer lamentation and mourning over Tyre's tragic loss. And in verses 33 through 36, this portion reads like a final epitaph. Tyre's beauty and security and affluence and influence have perished. She is now an appalling sight which strikes terror in the hearts of kings. And those who once profited from her merchandise hiss at her. It's like a laughingstock. The final words of verse 36 offer a summary of this catastrophic loss. You have become terrified and you will cease to be forever. What are some applications that we might draw from this quickly this morning? We read about one city of several that was sacked, destroyed in history as a result of God's plan, God's decree, because of their arrogance and selfishness and worldliness and their opposition to God's people. Let me make four applications this morning. Number one, what is true beauty? What is true beauty? We will never understand our own beauty and glory as human beings without first acknowledging the beauty and the glory of God. That's why Psalm 27:4 says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Psalm 96, verse 6, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And the psalmist says in Psalm 84, 1 and 2, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs for, even yearns for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. You'll never see your true beauty and glory as a human being unless you first acknowledge the glory and the beauty of Almighty God. That the Lord looked down from heaven. He made us in his image, but we are fallen creatures. Beauty became ugly. And the Lord God sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and to die as our sacrificial lamb. And so the Lord brings beauty out of ashes, as Isaiah says, by saving us from our sins and making us fit for heaven as a new people of God, made up of Jews and Gentiles. Do you know your true beauty today? True security. We will never find true and lasting security in this world, only in the Lord God Almighty. So many Americans, so many people in the world seek after security. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." You see, the life of faith and the life of trust is a life that depends upon that which you cannot see. It doesn't depend on your portfolio. It doesn't depend on the status of your health. It doesn't depend on someone else, your friendship, your network of relationships. No, it depends upon the Lord. And as indestructible as Tyre thought it was, nothing and no one can stand before a holy God. And so we're told to seek our security not away from Him, but in Him. And what more security would you want than to be a child of God as a result of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Himself said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. The Lord God Almighty knows the number of the hairs on your head. He knows the number that your heart will beat throughout life. He loves you." The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. Psalm 94, "The Lord has become my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge." What is your sense of security this morning built on? If it's not the Lord God, then it's going to be something in this world, in this life, that is a faulty foundation, just like Tyre. Thirdly, true affluence. You know, all the riches and the treasures of Tyre were only temporary, and they vanished forever in the heart of the sea. For you and I, we will never be satisfied with the affluence and the abundance of this world apart from God. We must see true riches and satisfaction in our relationship to the living God. That's why Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Psalm 42:1, "As the deer pants for water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." All of the material goods, all of the food, and the luxury items of Tyre could never satisfy an empty soul. It's only satisfied in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why the Lord Jesus Himself said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourself." True nourishment, true riches and affluence is not found in this world. It's found in soul satisfaction of knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you're a child of God and you're heading for heaven. One final application: true significance. You know, the influence and significance of Tyre was lost forever in a moment of time. Her legacy, as one historian says, is a city of ruins built on ruins. This is what happens whenever human beings seek to make a name for themselves. When human beings seek to worship their works and their achievements and their accomplishments as if life didn't matter apart from what you leave behind on this earth. But true significance is found when you discover that God made you, that God loves you, and that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and to redeem you. And you're a child of His forever. And the only way to find your true meaning and worth and significance is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and trust Him and begin to walk with Him in a relationship for the rest of your life. You know, Revelation 18 speaks of the fall of Babylon, and it alludes extensively to this description of Tyre. And you see, ultimately, all the cities, all the countries of the world that forsake God and turn away from Him, like Tyre, they're summarized in Babylon. And Babylon's going to fall. The city of God will last forever, but the city of man will perish, just like Tyre. Let me ask you, what is your significance in life? Do you see it as being a child of God? Or do you see it in something else in this life, in this world? I want to challenge you this morning to discover true beauty, true security, true riches, and true significance in a relationship to God, faith and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank You for this vivid imagery of the city of man as we look at the city of Tyre. And Lord, we thank You so much for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, in order to come and offer a beautiful gospel that would save us from our sin and give us all the riches of the glory of God and the significance of being sons and daughters of God. Lord, may we drink deeply of this today, and may we not return to the dry, temporary well of this world for anything. May we find ourselves stable and secure in Your kingdom. And may we long for You day by day until we go to meet You when we die or when You come and return to take us to Yourself. Lord, bless all of our hearts in that direction. We pray for those who are caught up in the city of man, that, Lord, You would rescue them before the time when they perish. Use us in that endeavor, Lord. And we commit all of these things to You now in Your capable hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to a closing hymn this morning, number 599, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Let's stand together as we sing. Thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning, especially if you're visiting. I look forward to greeting you at the Narthex whenever you leave. But for now, receive the benediction of our Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.